Our topic is love today. That beautiful angel card, love, comes about. And this time of year, what can be more in the air with Valentine's Day and February being the month of love itself? And you've seen all of the things in the stores and about hearts and flowers and romance. And I got home Friday night, and our drive, in the middle of our driveway, was cleared a heart. So, it was really quite touching. Our driveway's steep, so we park up top during this weather. So in the snow, there was this huge heart. And it reminded me how the little things are so important. The little things are so very important in love, aren't they?
Yeah.
It's not about the dozen or two dozen roses that you get once a year. It's about the day-to-day small little gestures that we do. And so I'm going to invite you today, through this talk and everything, to begin taking some small little steps. What can you do in small little ways to have more love in your life? And we'll tie it in several ways. But before I begin, I want you to understand that, as Connie said, this group comes together in such a way to promote growth for you. And there was a letter to the editor that was written one time where a gentleman wrote, "You know, I'm 60 years old. I've gone to church all my life. I must have listened to 30,000 sermons or 3,000 sermons. And I can't remember for the life of me what one of them was. And so I'm thinking that I might as well save my time and not go to church, and ministers should just save their breath and not give sermons. Because what's the point?" And this sparked a big debate. Letters went flying back and forth week after week and for 3 or 4 weeks. And finally, one letter came and kind of solved the issue. And it said, "You know, I've been married almost 60 years, and my wife has cooked more than 3,000 meals for me. And I can't tell you one single menu that she put together. But I can tell you that the food that she presented to me nourished my body and kept me whole and made me strong."
Good man.
Good man.
Amen.
He says, "And I can tell you that when I go to church, my soul is fed. And if I were to miss those services, no matter whether I remember them or not, my soul would die. And that's why we go to church." So congratulations for everyone for just being here to feed your soul. Because whatever you go away with and take with you, it doesn't matter if it comes from the prayer, the music, Lavanya, or wherever it is that your heart is soaring with love today, that's what's important. So I'm going to invite you, as we go through this, to just take a breath and soak in the love that is already here in this room, and know that as we leave this room, we're leaving it well prepared for the next group that comes in, because we're going to fill it with more love, and we're going to take that love with us out into the world today too. So as I read this, and I really liked this, and then there's a dichotomy to this also. So, dear human, you've got it all wrong. Paula knows this. You know this too. You didn't come here to master unconditional love. You know how we talk about love and unconditional love? You didn't come here to master unconditional love. That is where you came from, and that is where you will return. You came here to learn personal love, universal love, love of our brothers, messy love, sweaty love, crazy love, broken love, whole love infused with divinity. Live through the grace of stumbling, demonstrated through the beauty of messing up often. You didn't come here to be perfect, you already are. You came here to be gorgeously human, flawed and fabulous, and then to rise again into remembering. But unconditional love? Stop telling that story. Love, in truth, doesn't need any other adjectives. It doesn't require modifiers. It doesn't require the condition of perfection. It only asks that you show up. It only asks that you show up and that you do your best. That you stay present and feel fully. That you shine and fly and laugh and cry and hurt and heal and fall and get back up and play and work and live and die as you. It's plenty. That was by Courtney Walsh. And it's so interesting because love doesn't need any adjectives. In our language, we have one word and it's love. In Italy, they have at least 5 or more words for love and many phrases that relate to love. And yet, even though it doesn't need adjectives, even here she's saying messy love, universal love, broken love, infused with divinity love. So our language is so very limited that even as we say, it does not need an adjective. Our hearts are so open that we can't express, and so we do that innately, don't we? So we are here to be human and love in the best way we can. We're also like a candle. Our human form is here and it shows on the outside. But the wick, if you imagine our human form being the wax around the wick of the wick is the spirit and the universal knowing that pours through us, that is in the core of us. And so as we live our life and we shine our light, we light that light and we shine it, the wax begins to burn away and we show more and more and more who we truly are. So as we go through life, it's important that we begin to touch the heart space of who we are. And this idea of the heart space is becoming more and more, I would say, in vogue. I'm hearing it more. Understanding it more, and even scientists are proving that our heart is the first receiver. Our hearts receive things before our brains do. So it's a very important space, and it's a tender spot within us, and that's why we sometimes don't want to go there. Our ego wants to protect us from that hurt and that messy love stuff and keep us safe, but it's very important that we begin to get to that space of heart. And that we channel through it. That we actually understand that it's there and we begin to breathe into it. And know that it is a sustaining quality. Because our soul wants us to awaken. Our soul is awake already. And it just bursts forth and wants us to be in it, as it, and through it in our daily life. So Mark Nepho, in the Book of Awakening, and I don't know if you know Mark Nepho at all yet, but if you don't, he's really good. He brought this idea of the candle wick to me, and he says, in these moments of spirit lighting up, not only rearranges our lives, but they light and warm those who are near to us. So we're not just doing this for ourselves, we're doing it for each other. And we're doing it for every person we meet. And we're doing it whether someone is around us or not, because we know there's no real separation. So even as I get lit up in my home, I know that somewhere around the world, people are feeling it because they're open to receiving it. Which brings us to another point. Are you open to receiving love? The more we give love, the more we have to give if we're willing to receive it. But we can eventually deplete ourselves, I believe, although on the spiritual side, we can never deplete ourselves. In our physical world, we can give and give and give and become depleted if we don't have this hand open. So if we're saying no somewhere in our life, and we're giving and giving and giving here, nothing can come in here. So remember to make the channel open. Keep it flowing so that your life can be graced and you're recognizing the love that everyone else is. If you want to only see love for everyone in the whole wide world, go to the mountaintop and see it. But if you want to experience it, stay here and begin giving and receiving. Now, it's important in our everyday life to take some time each day with our significant others, with our friends, with our parents, whatever relationship we are in, with our coworkers, that we begin to share this. And one way is to show gratitude for people. One way of loving is to show gratitude for people. So there was a suggestion made the other day I heard where you show gratitude 3 times a day, open up your email, think of someone, say, I appreciate you in my life. It doesn't take but a second, really, if you do it. You don't have to write 3 pages of why. You just have to let them know you're thinking of them and appreciating them. Sandy does these nice little things. I told you about the heart in the driveway. But he usually does something for me every day. But I think I fall short sometimes in that. But how simple is this? This is a Folgers coffee can seal that he just folded and made little hearts of. So he actually put this on a little meat thermometer. I mean, he uses the meat thermometer is upside down. This is on it like a little thing, and little hearts are sprinkled around. It doesn't take money. It took a little time, and it took some thought. So what is it that we can really get deeper into our soul about? Because it's not about what the ads on TV would have us think. It's not about the stuff that we have laying around or want more of. It's about how we're feeling while we're doing what we're doing. And I know he enjoyed doing this, because he gets great pleasure out of creating little things. So the enjoyment is what shows through. If I looked at this and said, oh my gosh, now I have to do something even better, I would not be doing my part. My part is to receive it. My part is to say thank you. My part is to say, how special is that? Did I mean enough that he wants to show me that? So it's up to us to do the yin and the yang part of love, the receive and the give. So anyway, Mark Nepo goes on just to say, in such moments we become one with what we see, and this sudden oneness is what the faithful of all paths have called love. Every path, he says, the faithful in the path calls this oneness love. Now we're into that universal spirit that flows. Things like this can get us there. Mm-hmm. Things like this can get us there because it allows us to see more and see beyond. This is not just the coffee cap anymore. It's something different. And we can transform everything in our life that way. We're not limited at all. And in the illumination of oneness called love, all that's left is a willingness towards birth, an urge to be touched by something timeless and fresh, to relish the waking over being awake, the burning over being burned, and the loving over being loved. So when we decide that we get more enjoyment in the loving someone else, then we know we have reached a point where we are connected to that divine energy. It is up to us. And when we can be loving, even when someone else seems not to be, then we set ourselves up to receive something as a surprise, as a gift, as a moreness in our lives. It brings more in. And I think I told you this story. I may have told you this story because I use it, but I'm going to share it again because it's important. When I get into a place of angst with Sandy, and I'm angry for some reason, the minute I turn myself towards love, he responds. It is almost immediate. there's almost not a separating point. So one night I was angry and I'm doing dishes and I'm going like, I don't like this feeling and I don't want to be in this feeling. I want something different. So what is it? You've heard this from Abraham stuff. I want something different. What is it? Because our teachers are everywhere, aren't they?
Yeah.
Our teachers are everywhere. So I started thinking, I want love. I want to feel softer. I want gentleness. I want kindness. I want tenderness. I want to be in that loving place with Sandy. And immediately he was behind me and giving me a little hug. And it resolved itself without us really saying anything or talking about it, because we both wanted to be there. So it's important that I could have stayed mad and he would have stayed mad. Or I would not have allowed him, maybe. He might have been fine. I would not have allowed him to have that connection with me. So when we are in a place of trial or tribulation or angst, anger, whatever it is, it's really our charge. It doesn't matter how ugly the other person was or what it lies before us, how adverse it may seem, if we can stay or turn ourselves, and we talk about turning the other cheek, we need to look in the other direction. Right? It's not about us taking on more or getting beat up. It's looking somewhere else to find our way to love. Because that's what it's all about. So as we go about life, our relationships can all be about love. I'm being upstaged here. But I love it because that's the way life is and it should be. So Gary Zukav in Soul Stories talks about love. And he talks about it from several angles. And it was very... I'm going to read the first paragraph to you, first couple paragraphs, because he writes so beautifully and gets you into the feeling of this. The title of this story is Love. The enormous redwood tree, ancient and failing, trembled. With a cracking, tearing sound, the unimaginable began to happen. Near the base, one side of the giant tree began to crumble, like the first three floors of a collapsing building. On the opposite side, more than 20 feet away, a split suddenly appeared in the massive bark. The split grew vertically, slowly for a moment, and then more rapidly as it widened. Ever so slowly, the mountain of wood, thousands of years old, began to move. In the canopy, hundreds of feet above the forest floor, the top swayed. It swayed in the wind, but this time, when it reached the end of its sway, it continued downward. The ripping, tearing sound grew until it was louder than the roar of a freight train. Tons of fiber, centuries in the making, started their last journey. As the giant fell, it sheared huge branches, larger than oak trees, from neighboring redwoods. Down and down it fell with awesome force. Nothing could stop it now, and nothing did. It hit the forest floor, bounced once, and came to a final rest. The thunder fell silent. In a few minutes, thousands of years of reaching towards the sun ended in one final embrace of the earth. Slowly, the sounds of the forest returned. Insects buzzed, and leaves rustled in the breeze. Small animals reappeared cautiously, and larger animals began to move again. This is part of a love story. The leaves, the trunk, the branches, and the roots were in love with each other. Their love was continual because new leaves grew every year. Those leaves that were on the floor of the forest were not thousands of years old, because new leaves had branched out and come forth from the old. The roots loved the trunk that changed and shifted and held little nuggets for insects to have as food. Branches, trees built their nest, I don't know, where birds built their nests. So it was one, not just with the ground and the roots and the trunk and the leaves and the sky, but with the animals that were there. And we go further, and this tree will continue to send its love on the earth because it's going to decay. And there will be critters partaking of all of the nutrients of that tree as it decays, and it will go back into the soil to nourish the soil for more plants. So there's a continuation of this love story that goes on through the ages, because new seeds will be dropped in that spot and new plants will come up and be nourished by that redwood tree. And this is the very same for each one of us, each one of our human bodies and our souls. Our bodies are in love with themselves. The cells and atoms of our being congregate to create this skin, this bone, the organs that support us are all here in support of each other. Our brains that create the ego to keep us safe in this time and space that we even sometimes rail against because we want to be freer and have more love in our life because we know we're so much more than this, that we are in fact that love in action. But our bodies are comprised of everything that is loving in itself. And our bodies feel confined, but our soul knows that we're reaching out to each other. So our souls are going everywhere out into this world to create more love. And this love story goes on because the universe loves us. And the universe is comprised of galaxies and stars and billions and billions of stars and suns and moons. And they all are here to support each other in their cycles. They're all here. There is nothing left out. And there's more universes than this. And it all comes back to the idea that we're one. So we can look as far out as we can see and imagine. And it is constantly growing and constantly changing, and we are part of it. And we can breathe in and find that very same magnificence within our heart, within our space, within our soul, within our spirit. And there's nothing that contain it if we can be love. There is nothing that we cannot do if we do it in love. All the teachings say that. Don't let your ego get in the way of that. It's very important. Because if I do it in love, and we watched a movie the other day, an old movie called Big Country. And it's a perfect analogy because Gregory Peck went into the space of love in that movie. There was feuding, just like the Hatfields and the McCoys going on over land. And he stood his ground. And it destroyed the engagement they had going on, and there were people who were dying and stuff. I mean, it was a cowboy movie. It's a great movie. But he stood in his principle and said, I'm going to do it my way, with love. It doesn't have to be the way you've been doing it. So our whole life is about being present and being in love. Says the biggest love story has no beginning like we do in our human life. We have a beginning and an end that we see with this form, but we really know that there is no beginning. We kind of slipped in and we're going to slip out, right? But this part of us is going to be here. The biggest love story has no beginning like we do and like redwoods do, and it doesn't have an end either. We're part of that biggest love story. And we get glimpses of it. We get glimpses of that love story. And that's what keeps us coming back here and helping each other remember. And it's about reverence for who we truly are. And there's a healing modality called matrix energetics that has caught my attention. And they began just teaching you some simple little things to do. And now they're talking about love and heart space. And it's all about the heart space. And she says that the field of the heart is neutral. And it's neutral because everything is possible. So the field of the heart and this great love that we have is very, very neutral because it has all possibilities within it. There is nothing left out. We can never be left out of it either. So no matter how small you feel or how whatever it is, we can never be left out of this love. If you ever feel alone, remember that you're not. Just try to remember that you're not. We all get lonely. Sometimes we wish someone were there. But you're not really alone, ever, ever, ever. It's the biggest love story. So she goes on to say, coherency of the heart is actually increased when one accesses particular facets or dimensions of grace. And she mentions those facets of grace being love, appreciation, gratitude, and tranquility. So I want you to know, or I would like for you to know, that when you're alone with yourself, you're in good company. That there is always love. You are the love in this world, and it's going to come through you. Howard Thurman is one of my favorite authors, and so I'm going to close with this reading. I want to be more loving in my heart. I want to be more loving. Often there are good and sufficient reasons for exercising what seems to be clear, direct resentment. Again and again, I find it hard to hold in check a sharp retort, a biting comeback when it seems that someone has done violence to my self-respect and decent regard. How natural it seems to give as good as I get, to take nothing lying down, to announce to all and sundry in a thousand ways that no one can run over me and get away with it. All this is part of the thicket in which my heart gets caught again and again. Deep within me, I want to be more loving in my heart, to glow with a warmth that will take the chill off of a room, which I share with those whose lives touch mine in the traffic of my goings and comings. I want to be more loving. I want to be more loving in my heart, that with an unconscious awareness and deliberate intent, I shall be a kind and a gracious human being. Thus, those who walk the path with me may find it easier to be more loving, to be gracious, because the love of spirit, which is increasingly expressed in my living, they will find it easier to walk that path. I want to be more loving in my heart. I want to be a way shower. And I'm going to charge each of you with being a way shower, to show love wherever you are, to leave these little trails of hearts behind you as you go. Let them be there for someone else to see and to pick up and to smile and to share. So let's just join in a prayer. How's that sound? And so we gather today to express this love and this gratitude and life in a fuller, more appreciative way. We come to know that there is an expression in this universe that is loving, caring, giving, constantly giving of itself. And we are part of that great expression of love and life. We slip in and out of this human form with the charge of being loving, of being kind, of being gracious, of showing others and connecting with others in the great love story, knowing that there is no separation. And as we see or feel something different in this human form than that, we have the opportunity of stepping back and saying, I know that I can express love here and now. I can be that source of love flowing in this situation. I am that I am. I am love incarnate. I am willing to give, I am willing to receive, I am willing to be all that is here now. Lord, it's in this now moment. This is the only moment I need to be loving in. Here, now, love. Here, now, love. And so I give gratitude for this moment together in this room where we send love around to each other and where we fill this room with it to the point where it's expanding out into the universe and becoming more. I am grateful, and I put these words into that law that brings them to us fulfilled, that sends them out even further than we can imagine, beyond imagination. And I let it be, and so it is.
So it is.
Thank you.